So in this episode, we're going to talk about the first five.
The first five? We're taking us back to the first five of our marriage?
Well, they say in... there's a saying out there that says, first 5 years is what determines the life or death of a marriage. You know, because you got so much coming at you. You know, and I think, you know, like... Especially, like, I think the biggest thing... Basically, you have two single people coming together.
Very true.
And true. So I think... Like, even when we first started, let's dive into our marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, when we first got together, I think, whether I believed it or not back then, I think I really lived with that single mindset.
I don't think it was just you, honestly. I think that both of us lived in that single mindset. Even though me, I had an idea of what I wanted my marriage to look like, but forgetting that there's two people in that marriage. And so I wanted what I wanted, and I believe that you wanted what you wanted. And I think that it was the navigation of two people working as one.
Well, I didn't even see it from that point of view. I was thinking more like having my own way. Like from my perspective, I guess, I think of like, because again, like we've said in other podcasts before, I was the outgoing one. You were more of the introvert.
Right.
So basically, I had a lot of friends.
Right.
So, you know, it was funny. Some of my friends were like, you know, you're married now, so I'm not going to invite you. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And at first, it bothered me. I'm like, just because I'm married doesn't mean I'm a, you know, I'm like got a disease or something. I can't hang out, you know. But there were other ones that I kind of said, you know what, well, we're going to do this.
Right. Well, I remember one time when we had one of your friends over, and it was just right after we got married, and he happened to mention, he said, so are you going to let Manuel come over here and do anything with us, or is this it? You're never going to let him do anything with us ever again. And I just sat there for a second, and I just said, you know what? I said, I'm not here to get in the midst or get in the... Yeah, I guess that's right. I'm not here to stop him or stop you from seeing your friends or getting in the middle of your friendships. And I think that was one of the things that I even surprised myself saying. You know, it's something that I may or may not have thought about it before, but at the time I remember saying, no, he can go do whatever he wants to with his friends, but he's got to remember that he's got to come home. He's got a wife now. So.
That's funny. Did you see what she just did there? She gave me my real name.
I'm sorry.
We'll have to do a podcast. We'll have to do a podcast just on the different names we've been called. So. We'll do that another time. But yeah, I get what you're saying, you know, because it was kind of the expectation, but it was funny because that same individual, if you really want to get down to it, that same individual was the same one that kind of stopped inviting me.
Yeah.
So there was a time, you know, there was a time where I exerted my will one way of going out and doing my thing. You remember that time?
Yeah, it wasn't hard to forget. So there was a time where it was after we had already had our second child. And so the little ones, they're only 15 months apart. And I was having a rough time, you know, taking care of them on my own and by myself. And so you said, when you came home, you said, hey, I'm going out with a friend and we're going to go fishing. And I said, you know, I need your help here. Please, can you just stay home? Because you've gone fishing or you've been out there with him or doing things before, but can you please stay home? I really need your help. I've been here. It's been a rough day. I need your help. And you said, oh, no, I'm going. I'm going out. And he did. He went out and he went fishing.
And what did you tell me the consequence was going to be?
Well, at the time, you know, I was just like, you know what? If you're going to go, don't expect to come back. And you pretty much just said, okay, well, I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing on my own. Or not on your own, but I'm going fishing with my friend. And I said, okay, all right.
So I walked away and said, heard that before. Not a big deal. I'll just be back. We'll be cool. So we go fishing, have a good old time out in the lake. You know, I think my friend caught some fish. You know, because he was into warm water fishing, so I think he caught some crappie and some smallmouth bass. Having a good old time, so we come home, it's getting dark. I pull up to the house, pile of clothes on the front porch. set of keys on top of the port, on top of those clothes. And I looked at my friend and I says, ah, this stupid woman. She left me the keys. What does she think? I'm gonna get in the house. She left me the keys. I go up, all dirty clothes. All dirty clothes. And then the house key is gone. I'm like, okay.
Not as dumb as you think.
Yeah, you weren't. You definitely weren't. So we had a little window in the door. I looked in. We had an alarm system on the house. I saw it was blinking red, armed. And I go, okay. And then something said in my head, I wouldn't go inside. And so, embarrassed, with my tail between my legs, I grab and scoop up my clothes with my keys, jump in my friend's car, go back to his house, and I call her. Lo and behold, she had the neighbor on the left, and she had the neighbor on the right, ready to call the cops if I broke in. She was in the basement with the phone in her hand, ready to call the cops if I came in. I found that out when I came back. You know, when I called her, I said, you know, we got to work this out, you know. Whether we work it out tonight or we'll work it out in the future, we just need to work this out because this isn't my vision for a marriage.
Yeah, well, he forgot another part of the story there. As not only did I have the right and the left, I also had across the street waiting and watching. Wow. Okay. To see if he was actually going to come in. Okay. Or try to come into the house. So, I mean, I was prepared, you know, if something was to go the way that I didn't want it to go at that point, because I had mentioned to him, I said, look, I need your help. But he was still in the mindset of he was going to live his way as a single person. I was going to live my way as a single person. We weren't together yet. We weren't in that, we weren't as one yet. And this is still, you know, yes, of course, everybody has their times where they have to adjust to each other. But at this point, we had already had two children and I needed help. And that's the only thing that I could say is that I needed help. And it wasn't going the way that I thought that it should go. And I think that in my defense, I had no other way to respond. I didn't know what else to respond to. I didn't know how to respond. And you know that there's I think at that time actually my neighbor who happened to be on, I don't remember which side she was on, but anyway, she happened to say, hey, look, if you need to set your foot down, you need to put your foot down. If he's going to come over and you told him to stay, you need to tell him. You need to, you know, you need to put your foot out there and say, okay, well, this is a consequence of what you're going to do. And yeah, that's the way that it happened. But fast forward, 30 years has been great other than that.
Yeah, it has been. It has been. So just to give an idea, she was a stay-at-home mom. One of the things I said before marriage was that my wife would never have to work unless she wanted to. And I wasn't being chauvinistic in that. I wasn't the whole barefoot and pregnant kind of thing. I wasn't that kind of mindset when I made that statement. It was just a matter of I wanted somebody to be there for my kids, and I was willing to work multiple jobs to make sure that happened, to make sure the kids were taken care of.
And I think honestly that was one of the things that drew me to you and to, you know, kind of open my heart to you, because you at that point, even though you said it, I believed that you meant it. But, you know, things happen in life. And then when it happened this way, we were just talking about that, you know, that you exerted something over what I was doing that I could not trust you at that moment.
Right.
And, you know, because we've been able to work through those things and we can't just sit here. I mean, you had mentioned that I was on the phone and you had called me and we decided that at that moment that we needed to work things out. Mm-hmm. We needed to, as a married couple, because this is what we were doing, is we were here for the long haul. We had discussed it before too, that you know, separating was never in our vocabulary as a couple. We wanted to be this, and this was something that we were going to go on forever. And I think that, you know, even when I was able to stay home, there were some things that I was wanting to do on my end. I wanted to be able to bring in money because I was staying home.
Right.
And so in my thing, I was like, I didn't want you to have to work two jobs, but I wanted to bring in money on my end. So I started doing these little things, you know, I was flower arranging and doing, you know, trying to bring in money on my own. But things didn't happen the best way, and you did have to go out there and you did have to work a couple of jobs.
Well, I think for the most part, you know, like even doing that in my mind as a man's man, you know, I thought, well, I'm paying the bills, roof over the head, food in the stomach, you know, her hobbies are being taken care of, all the things she wanted to do, I was providing for, so I still have whatever I wanted to do, you know. And I think one of the other things that drive a wedge between a couple is the activities you get involved in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for us, it was the balance between church, family, I mean, God, family, church, and ministry. You know, and there came a point in the first 5 years where all that was playing out. You know, we were heavily involved in our church. We were heavily involved in our ministry. And we also had the family. And we had our personal relationships with God. And so balancing that was really, really hard. I mean, it got to a point where, like, the honeymoon was over. Some things had to drop by the wayside.
Right. Yeah, it was, it just wasn't, you know, let's think that this is going to happen and everything's going to be perfect. At the beginning of our marriage, nothing was perfect. Nothing was. No. I mean, there were things that, you know, that I would do that would frustrate you, that would make you angry, and you would be angry at me, or you would do something and I would be angry with you. And we had to go over there and we had to sit back and say, hey, look, we're still in this. We want to make sure that we're doing this better for ourselves as well as for our legacy, you know, and our children. So,
and I think it was in those times, and probably for a lot of time after that, for a long time after that, I think it got to the point where, because we were together,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I think sometimes the lines got blurred, because yeah, we were together, but I think at times we were almost like co-workers, you know, because we were working on taking care of the kids, we were working on taking care of church, we were working on taking care of the ministry, and there was no real work on taking care of each other.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I think that that we had to, you know, we had to get to a point where not only, well, I mean, it's still a balance. It's a balance on everything, trying to figure out how to, you know, focus on each other, because that's the one thing that if we can't get together here, then we can't get together with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kids that we may or may not have in life, or ministry, or work even, that we can't focus on those things. And so, I mean, at the beginning, when we first got married, I think that you and I were together here. We were both here. We knew what we wanted, but you and I weren't here. We weren't together here.
Yeah. I think it took a long time to get there.
Oh yeah.
I really do. You know, and I think what really brought us there, I think, honestly, what really brought us there was, you know, they say that there's two things that destroy a marriage. And crazy enough, we went through those two things, like, within a year,
mm-hmm.
you know, and those two things are, they say, are the loss of a home and the loss of a child. And again, we were balancing everything. I think there was a time where we were trying to figure out how to balance everything, and the stress of everything, I think, was too much for your body at one point when you were carrying our son.
Yeah.
You know, and so
yeah, and actually this is our fourth child. I was carrying him, and we had already had you know, our daughter, and then our two boys. So this is, you know, we were already invested in all the different things that we were doing in life, you know, like you said, we were invested in God, in church, in family, in ministry, and not each other. But I think at that time that these two specific items happened literally at the same time, in the exact same year, you know, when we're losing our house and when we're losing our son, it was...
Well, I think well, going back to losing our son,
yeah.
and just so you know, I'm not going to mention names, mm-hmm. and you'll hear us talk about people in the third person, but I'm not mentioning names. I'm not putting anybody's business out there, not even my own. The only names you'll probably hear is mine and hers. And even then, I was trying not to do that. But
and I messed up already.
It happens. Okay. But anyways, going back to that, I think we were, and again, it happens. You get so busy with the work of life.
Yep.
You don't key in on the little cues of life.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, the little emotional parts of life.
Yeah.
The things that may cause issues in life. You miss those things because you're so focused on, you know, going to work every day, mm-hmm. providing for the family, going to church and providing for for what you call service to God.
Yeah.
And just all the various things that happen in life. And we get so caught up with that. And I think the stress of that was so much with your body that you ended up miscarrying with our son.
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, you know, it was again, we were heavily involved in ministry. So in ministry, one of the things I was very blind faith, so to say. You know, I was at that time very immature in the Lord, and I was pie in the sky, money will fall to us when we need it. So there were times where, you know, our mortgage, our house, we had a very blessed place to live. And I think, like, even our mortgage was very, very below what other people were paying.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of gave me the idea, well, that's easy to pay, so we'll just catch up. And before you know it, I was pouring so much money into the ministry that I neglected the responsibility of life.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what led to the foreclosure of our house.
Yep.
That's what led to us having to leave and having to figure things out. And like I said, all in that time frame within a year, you know, that was around 01. You know, when you miscarried, by 02, we were out of the house. I mean, it was crazy. We were packing up as it was snowing, and we were putting stuff in a U-Haul. You were ready to live in a storage unit because we didn't know what we were going to do.
Yep. That was a crazy time because we didn't have any money to go anywhere else. We had nothing saved. We had nothing, you know, in the back end of things to put us into a new home, whether we were going to rent an apartment or whether we were going to do anything else. And of course, because we're getting our house foreclosed on us, we didn't have any hope in ourselves that we were going to go anything or make anything happen in the future. And I was just at a point where I think we were sitting at our at some friends of ours' house. And I told them, I said, I don't know what to do. I'm scared because we're not going to have a place to live. And I happened to mention that I was ready to go live in a 2-bedroom trailer or find us a storage unit, because we did have our stuff that we had to get it out of the house. And so whatever it was, I was going to live in a storage unit because that was the only thing that I saw is the hope that we had was to live in nothing, to live in poverty and to live in nothing.
Well, and it was pretty crazy because you think about that. You know, here we are, we're losing the house, we had just lost our son, and shortly after that, we were blessed with an opportunity to be in a house, so to say.
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, you had gotten pregnant with our daughter.
Yes.
So like we were losing two of the things that were kind of devastating in a marriage, but at the same time, we were also given back those things.
Yes.
When we kind of just trusted in our relationship and trusted in focusing and going forward. I mean, it was almost, as crazy as it sounds, it was almost immediate that happened, you know? And then, you know, you rebuild. You rebuild.
Yeah, it was you know, it's still a hard time for us when we did have to rebuild because, again, we had a household of items. And yes, we went to live in a 2-bedroom trailer and we had 3 kids. And then you and I, so there's 5 of us living in a 2-bedroom trailer and I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. We found out I was pregnant the day we moved in to that 2-bedroom trailer. Yeah. So that was pretty intense, actually. We were just like, oh, and guess what?
Yeah.
I'm going to add another one here. But thinking about it now, you know, God knows. He knows where we're at. He knows what's going to happen in the future. And he knows that even though that those times were hard for us, those times were rough for us, and in ourselves, we can only see what's here. And we're only blindsided by what's here. we don't have our mind focused here. We can't see what God is doing.
Right.
And we can't see the big picture.
Right.
We have to trust.
We're focused earthly bound.
Yes, yes.
And we weren't focused heavenly bound.
Yes.
You know? It's just things that happen in life.
Yeah.
And if we're not one,
yeah,
and we're not together in the choices being made, it can destroy a marriage.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, so again, yep, those things that they say, these are the two things that cause divorce or cause, yep, a marriage to end. There's some real issues.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of blame could have happened.
Yep.
A lot of I told you so's. And, you know, there's things like that in life. You know, it just is. You have to face it. But, you know, I think shortly after that, I think is when, you know, going forward, we, you know, there was a point where you decided, you know, I think I want to go back to work.
Yeah.
And there was some pushback. And not necessarily from me. I mean, I think you had spent from here to this time frame focused and devoted to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden now I'm the one spending more time with the kids. I'm the one devoting my attention to the kids, picking them up from school, bringing them home, waiting for you to get off work because your schedule was a little different than ours. And so, you know, once I had taken that on, I think there was a little bit of jealousy there from you towards me.
Yeah.
A little resentment.
Yeah, but I think resentment, or, you know, I don't know the specific definition of either, but resentment kind of feels a little bit more like what I had felt than, mm-hmm, the jealousy. But I guess it's jealousy and resentment, I guess, could be intertwined. And yes, because, you know, ever since I was a little girl, I wanted to be a mom, and I knew that was what I wanted to be. I always wanted to be at home with kids. I always wanted to be the mom taking care of my children. And so, of course, like I said before, that was one draw for me to be with you, because,
yeah,
you said that,
yeah,
I never had to work.
Yeah.
But during that time, I think that I kind of lost my focus with God. You know, I lost, you know, knowing that God was going to take care of us, and knowing that that He was going to be our provider no matter what. And so then I ended up, you know, falling into smoking and getting into that, and that was kind of a,
well, and
it was
a bad thing, because you were breastfeeding at the time.
Yes.
And that was something we had discussed, that I didn't want you to be a part of, because, mm-hmm, I knew whatever you were intaking in your body was, mm-hmm, going to come out through the milk and the child.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's where the frustration and the anger came from, you know. And I think a part of it, the other part of it, well, I mean, I guess that was from my part, where I was kind of, I guess I had some resentment there. Because,
yeah,
again, it was one of those things. One of the things I said is, I want you to go to work so that you can go to work. I don't want you to go to work so that you're stressed out and have to deal with things in this way.
Right.
I think that was the reason why I was like, I don't want you to work, because I want you, because I know taking care of kids and carrying, mm-hmm, kids to term is stressful in itself. And
right.
So I was more like, okay, I'll take on these big stresses,
mm-hmm,
so that you can deal with these other stresses. And
right.
So we can kind of balance each other out.
Right.
And then I think on your part, maybe where the resentment came from was the fact that you were now hearing stories of the kids secondhand instead of telling them firsthand to me.
Right.
And I think that's where the resentment came in there, because now it's like we're switching roles.
Right.
And
right.
You're like, well, you know, this is what I do. I'm the one that tells you what happens with the kids.
Right.
I'm the one that kind of excitedly says, hey, did you know this happened today?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the resentment for that came in.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of crazy how, you know, when you bring two people together like that, and all the dynamics of what it is to be married.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that's why they say, you know, the first 5 years, if you can manage to come together and figure it out,
mm-hmm,
in them first 5 years, that will really determine the future of your marriage.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's about making sure that we are one, you know, first of all, knowing that when we go into the marriage that this is what we want together, and all the rest of the things are going to work out. I know that's easier said than done, that the things are going to work out, because, you know, when you're first married, things are you're gonna fight over just about everything. So I know that, of course, that the first 5 years of marriage are going to be difficult, but just, you know, the first thing that I can say to people is that you're going to, you can do this and you can work it through. You will work it out if you guys are able or wanting to be a success in your marriage.
Right, right, mm-hmm. right. Yeah. Yeah. It takes work. It really does. Mm-hmm. And it takes work on both parts. It can't be one-sided because that won't work.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that's our take on first 5 years. Again, if there's any topics you would like to hear about, you know, leave a comment. Leave a comment and let us know what you would like us to talk about. And if we don't know it, we'll do the research.
Yes.
And definitely bring it out. But like I always say, be blessed, y'all.
Be blessed.